Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another show with Diabla. Today, my guest is a very good artist, excellent artist, and a great man, Stones Rock. Hello there.
Hello, hello. How you doing?
I'm good. And you?
Cool.
All right. So you are in Germany. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. I'm in Germany.
All right. So how is the situation in Germany with this COVID situation? And how been your last year?
I mean, my last year, 2020, right? Because right now, 2021. 2020, it was really mm-hmm. calm. Really calm because I was not traveling that much like in the other years in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But it helped me to be more focused on my project and more focused on myself and to define exactly how I can touch people, how I can be a better version of myself already. So at one point, you know, or at one side, it was really calm.
Mm-hmm.
No socializing, you know, because of the COVID, you know, but at the other side, it was for me the best way to better know myself.
Mm-hmm.
Better know the artist who is in me and how can I better improve, you know.
Yeah.
So
I do believe that actually everybody last year had a time to connect with themselves and get to know better themselves for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Originally, where are you from?
I'm from Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Cameroon, yeah.
Okay, and when did you move to Germany?
Oh, I moved to Germany in 2006, 2007, something mm-hmm. like that. Yes,
okay.
2006, 2007, moved to Germany. And okay. Now I'm here.
Nice. So you like the live in Germany and you will stay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So why Kizomba and when started your love for dancing?
Kizomba for me is so elegant.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the African elegance, mm-hmm. you know. And I opted for Kizomba because first of all, to break down some cliches, like, you know, people, when they think about Africa, they think about poor people, wars, banana, or sickness, you know,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have a clue about what is happening there. And I've been there, I was born there, and I know how's life there, and life is really good, you know. So, of course, some regions more or less, but mm-hmm. really, really good. And for me, it was like, I really want to represent my country. I really want to represent the continent where I'm from. And I really want to not only to show people how is it, but to feel it properly
mm-hmm.
in all the directions possible, all possible directions. Yes.
Yeah.
So I started with solo dances, Afro house, Afrobeat and whatever. And at a certain point, I was like, I would like to continue to dance for the next 10 years. You know, mm-hmm. I would like to see to watch my own videos in the next 10 years, in the next 20 years. And I would like to dance with my wife. I would like to dance with my kids. So as I discovered that Kizomba, you know, because in Cameroon, in Cameroon or in Africa, we don't have a lot of couple dances. We don't have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Europe. So as I discovered that Kizomba is really elegant. Is really, you know, the cultural background is really present. Of course, there are some people that are misusing Kizomba, but when you just keep to that cultural background and you dance it, you know, I was so proud of myself, so proud about this music. And I was like, Kizomba.
Yeah.
Salsa is good, bachata, yes, Kizomba. Kizomba first.
So how old were you when you started your first dance steps? Because I do believe that in your childhood, you haven't started with Kizomba. Because actually in Africa, every region has, let's say, the dance, which is...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. So I started, I was three.
Ooh.
Yes, I was three. I started to dance, and I know that I was able And I was dancing, and then some people started to recognize me, you know. And then as I was 14, it was for me the first time to be a choreograph.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a choreo, made a choreo for 32 dancers.
Oh,
and
big responsibility.
Yes, and I was so afraid, because imagine a kid, you know, a child, a small guy, really young, mm-hmm. you know, nothing, coming and teaching people who are, you know, way older, like 20 years old or 18, or just like, okay, move your hips, do the step like this. No, it's not matching to the music. Repeat. No, it's not good. Repeat. And then I was so frustrated because, you know, already because of the age difference or difference mm-hmm. of age, people are gonna look at you like this, you know, like, who are you? You're talking to me like this? No, 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 you're a kid. So, so I started, I was 3 years old. Then my first choreograph, I did it, I was 14. And then I continue. And I did it in, it was a Cameroonian traditional dance. So mm-hmm. I did it there, continuing Afrobeat, Kupedikali, Afro Contemporary, and Dombolo, Bikutsi, Makosa, and a lot of other African dances. And yes, Kizomba came really later.
Then you discovered it. So exactly. you were in Africa when you discovered Kizomba, or moved to Germany?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, I was still in Cameroon. I discovered Kizomba there. And I danced there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of me told me, like, you know what, Stones, you have to come with me. I know you know how to dance. Just come to the dance floor. We try and I'll say, okay, go good. And but how is it working really? Okay, good. Let me teach you that.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought he did it, and step by step, get used to it, and step by step, you know, it's like when I'll say, when you try something really good, and then at a certain point you cannot resist anymore, because like I want more. So that was that, and I was dancing Kizomba practically so often, every day. Not every day, because I was still more in Afrobeat, Kupedikali, mm-hmm. and Dombolo. Otherwise, my mentor gonna it's like, yeah, you have to move your ass. Yeah, you have to dance. You have to sweat. You have to, oh god. And then he was still saying that, yeah, Kizomba is just a dance. It's a lazy dance. It's a lazy dance. You know, you're just cuddling the whole time. But for me, I liked it. So I was dancing like regularly, like, you know, taking classes, mm-hmm. then enjoying it, taking classes regularly in every month.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for 2 years, and then I came to Germany.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so your, let's say, instructor career started. I mean, the instructor career in Kizomba started in Germany.
In Kizomba mm-hmm. started in Germany. Started here in Europe. Yeah, started in 2015.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
And how did you find a dance partner? Because I believe that you needed someone, you know, to find to dance and give the classes.
Oh, actually, you know, people in the Kizomba scene, they know Sabine as my first dance partner. Before, mm-hmm. before Sabine, I had another dance partner. Her name is Julia Montesino. And she's from Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So we were living here in Bremen, Germany, and then we were dancing together at the same dance school.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, the feeling was so good. So we started to dance together. We started to teach. We started also to do shows in 2015. And then because we were already teaching in the same dance school, everything was really fine, and we like each other. And then she stopped because she wanted to be more in the reggaeton direction, to go more in the reggaeton direction. I was like, okay, bye-bye. I stay in his room. Bye-bye. Ciao, papa. So to find a dance partner, I was first of all with Sabine. And as I found Sabine, or we found each other, I was not looking for a dance partner at that time. Because I was more focused on myself. I wanted to develop more, to improve more and more and more. And my training sessions were really intense. So I was like, okay, good. But that with Sabine, it happened like this. You know,
yeah.
I went to her festival. Let me tell you, I hope you have time.
Of course.
So I went to her festival, 2015, 2016. I don't remember anymore. Okay. I went to her festival the first time, and we danced together. And she was, you know, she was like,
oh,
you know, and I was like, what's happening to you? You know, I asked you really gently if I can dance with you. You tell me yes. You told me yes. And now I'm dancing with you. You're just acting like, you know, and but she didn't do it on purpose. You know, she was just, you know, when you are organizer of an event, you're not really in the feeling of the music. You're thinking the whole time, is everything fine? The DJs, they have everything, the artists. So, but I didn't know that she was the organizer.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't know her at all. You know, I was a simple guy, not even a teacher, because I went there incognito. I was a simple guy just asking a nice lady for a dance. You know, easy. So, and after her festival, for me, it was like, okay, I will never ever dance with her again. You know, so like she just fucked up my mood. So I'm, and I have been booked for another festival, and that festival was really cool. And I didn't have the dance partner because my dance partner from Cuba, she wanted to.
Bye-bye,
reggaeton. Hasta luego, bye-bye.
¿Hablas español?
Un poquito.
Okay.
So then I was there, and the organizer told me that, oh, no problem. We're going to give you a nice lady to dance with you. She has the label, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, no problem. You know, I trust the organizer. Then I went there. The organizer told me that, okay, yeah, here's the lady. That was Sabine. I was like, damn. Damn. The world is so small, you know, I couldn't believe it's too small. Can you make it a little bit bigger? I don't like it. So, and I was like, okay, let us dance. Let us prepare ourselves for dance. And I was really straight on that day. I was like, just, you know, fucked up the first dance. Now I don't want. But Sabine didn't know it. So, but we prepared. We match. We did the workshop. We match. A lot of people love the workshop, the structure, the way to bring to teach the steps and everything. And so it was a nice workshop with her. So I was really surprised. I was like,
what happened?
That's not the same girl, you know. But I was really surprised. The only thing is that the first time I met her, She was organizing it was her own event. So she was
somewhere
busy.
Else. Yeah.
Exactly. But I met her the second time. She was not busy here. She was open. She was normal, you know. So that is how I met her. And then yeah, a couple of months later we decided, you know, to make it to be a couple of dance or a dance couple. And we started to travel together. Until 2019, she, because of her health and other private reasons that she mentioned also on Facebook, she decided to stop. And for me, I continue. And there I look for my new dance partner. and it was Melly. So I'm still in a partnership, dance partnership with Melly. She's living in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's all.
Okay, all right. Did you have any anecdote in the festivals, like something interesting happened to you or something shame that you want to share with me?
Well, I hope you're ready. So I'll say that my first of all, my best festival was in India.
Okay.
That is my best festival. All festivals where I've been, they were good, really. But that festival in India, the atmosphere, how people were, I mean, I think it's the mentality, it's the tradition that, you know, it's really different. For mm-hmm. me, it was just like, that is a festival. That is the essence. That is the core of a festival, you know. So, like, you can organize a festival with money, we can organize with everything, but those people, they don't have a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
but the passion that they are having, the you know, that love that they're having, it is overwhelming.
Yeah.
So overwhelming. And you know, here in Europe, we like to control our emotions. But there, no, don't control the emotions.
Express let them yourself. Out.
Exactly. So for me, it was just went there and I was really positive shocked about this overwhelming feeling. And for me, that was the best festival. And what can I say? Something that I saw in a festival that really touched me. So I was you know, when I'm teaching, I'm the last years I was trying or putting some new concepts in my way to teach. It helped mm-hmm. me a lot to develop my pedagogy and my way to be focused on people and to bring people not to the step but to the energy behind the step. Because mm-hmm. when you have the energy behind it, you can do whatever you want. You can add your own vibrations. So it was at three festivals that I did it. And then I stopped it. I was like, it's nice, but I don't know if I should continue to do that. You know? So the thing is that I was teaching at three festivals and people started to cry in the room.
Sorry, did you cry with them?
Oh, that is the second anecdote. So I did two different things. I did the workshop, people started to cry. We were talking about musicality. We were talking about, I was using a metaphor, like compare the music with the rainbow. And the rainbow has different colors. And when you listen to music, you have different kind of instruments. Now imagine that you have this wonderful rainbow and that you start to surf on it. You start to explore each color and then to make your own combos, to mix your own colors, to define your own rainbow. So I play some kind of music to relax people, to talk with people, you know. 2 hours, the workshop was 2 hours. We were talking, exchanging ideas for 30 minutes. Then we started to do some exercises. And then at the end of the workshop, people were starting to cry. cry not because they were sad. But first of all, they were crying. I saw a woman, she was crying. I was just like, maybe she's just removing dust from her eye. I don't know. And my partner told me that, Oh, stones. Look, she's crying. I was like, come on. Come on, she's not baby. She's not crying. She's just dancing. So it's like, come on, stones. Watch, look. She's crying. And we were hearing like, It's like, hey, that is not an instrument in that song that I have. I know that song. We don't have this sniff sniff in the song. So, you know, it will, but some people started to, I stopped the song and some girls, they were crying. And I started to apologize myself. Like, I'm sorry, guys. What is happening? What is happening? What is happening? Hey, is something going on? I'm so sorry. I used the wrong music. I'm so sorry. And then a girl told me that Stone stopped talking. I was like, oh,
oops.
What's going on? You know, I went back to Sabine. I was like, Sabine, please protect me because I don't know what's happening here. You know, and then a participant started to tell me that they're crying because it is the end of the workshop. They're crying because the way how they were dancing, they never danced like that. It was not about the amount of steps. It was about how they did the steps and in which way they did it, which kind of energy. It was not the energy that I put in the classroom. It was the energy which was coming from their own heart, you know. So, and some people started to feel sad moments that they tried to block in dim life. Some people started to feel good feelings, you know, that, oh, I'm happy. I remember something good in my life, or I remember something bad in my life. I remember that I miss someone or I miss something, you know, and they were trying to dance. So they were dancing emotionally. And at the end, they were like, we feel light. Not, it's like we have lost some weight because we thank you. And I was like,
another level.
Thank you. So, and people start to like clap, 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 clap. It was the end of the workshop. And for me, I was like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed. Wow. And my dance partner also, she as people started to talk, she was also crying.
Your dance partner?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I look at her, I was like, yo, bro, what you why you crying? And she was like, yo, it's so emotional. And I was like, okay. It's okay. And for me, I was feeling the same feeling, but I was a little bit embarrassed because for me, it was the first time in my culture, people are crying for two things. When they're happy, it's a marriage, for example, it's a wedding, or when they're sad, someone is dead. So, and as I saw people started to cry, I was like, whoa, what is happening? Connected to my culture. But the way how I touched them, of course, it was my goal to touch them, but I was not expecting this kind of reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the first time. Second time, it happened in Budapest. Budapest, again, I teach there's a colorful musicality. Mm-hmm. Exactly. There was festival, in the topic of the workshop was colorful musicality. And again, people cry. And then people started to call me the crying teacher. Because when people are going to my class, they're crying, they're happy, they're crying in the field, they feel better, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I don't like that nickname, you know. So, and I did it again at another festival, and it was in Denmark, people was they were really touched, and they gave me a lot of feedback about, you know, usually, I mean, first of all, it proved that my concept was right, that mm-hmm. a lot of people, when they're teaching steps, they're using steps. They want that people keep themselves busy with the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And after the steps, people will reach the next stage, which is to the way to use the steps or the way to have the energy, the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, they have the final product, which is the dance. Okay, because without energy, without feeling, it's just a choreo. You know, it's not so really interesting. So, and for me, I'm not going this direction. I'm coming from the other side. So I really want that people identify themselves, first of all, that they know who they are, what they can do, how they feel. And afterwards, depend according to what they are feeling, that they move on it.
Yeah.
Not that they have a precise step, but that they try to express the step there. You know, and that is much more difficult to do, because when it's happening, you are not connected here. You are connected here with your heart. And for people, I mean, in our society where we are, you know, blocking everything, you know, trying to hide our emotions, to come from that other side, I start with emotions, and from the emotions, I go to the steps. If you are not really strong, you start to cry, which is normal because you are just, you are behaving like you feel, not like you think it is right. You are behaving according to your emotions. So that's it.
Okay.
So that was the first anecdote. The second anecdote was that I was teaching. It was another concept that I was having. I was teaching, and 1.5 hour. It was a master class, I think, in at the big festival here in Germany.
Budapest.
I don't know.
Germany. Sorry, sir.
That one is was here in Germany, and what happened? The people at the end of the workshop, they did it so well, so that I was not, one more time, I was not expecting that. I was just like, I don't know if they will do it. I don't know, but that is the goal. And at the end, it was really difficult for each of them, but I noticed that each of them gave his best. Really the best, so that you can feel that, yes, that is really the better. It's not possible for that time. So, and I started to cry in my own workshop because I was so proud of them, all of them, because, you know, sometimes as a teacher, when you're in the class, you have people with different kind of levels. Sometimes the difference is like this, and sometimes the difference is like this. And in that class, it was a master class. You know, there's no selection for the master class. It's like everyone who has a full pass go there. The difference was like this.
Yeah.
So I was just like, ooh, that is fucked up. That master class, but, you know, I don't have the right people. But at the end, they convinced me that, Stones, you were wrong. We are the right people. And yes. So I cried on my own workshop. So...
So, dear people, if you want to experience crying workshop and crying instructor, here he is. But finally, I mean, that is really good, because you made people to relieve kind of negativity from themselves, and also to enjoy and connect with themselves. And of course, finally, they've been sad because it's ending, but it's never ending. They can always contact you for the workshop, and I hope it's going to be soon. Yes. I will be part. I want to cry. I don't want to see cry. Okay. People are watching your videos, and I'm watching your videos, and you are mixing acrobatic with kizomba.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, that's your own style of dancing, but in your school, for example, do you teach also that level of kizomba with acrobatics, or which levels do you have in your classes?
Okay, to be honest, first of all, the way how I use kizomba, of course, I use kizomba, and I mix it with my background. I am an Afro dancer, and I have also danced contemporary. So when I'm dancing, sometimes it can look acrobatic. Sometimes it can look like you know, like someone is dancing ballet, someone is dancing contemporary, but it is on the way that you really recognize that the feeling is the Kizomba feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also sometimes using hip-hop. So hip-hop or breakdance, you know, so depending on the music and depending on my feeling, I'm mixing them. So now I'm teaching it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the whole concept is called Rock Your Dance, because that is the art to rock your dance. Rock Your Dance. When I'm doing workshops, Rock Your Dance workshops, this is the style that I'm teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for the first time in 2018, and I organized a tournament or a competition, and I teach that style there. It was really the burner. It was really good, and I continue since 2018. I'm teaching it now. I'm teaching it also at some festivals who booked the concept because that is something extra. Not everyone is ready to go to fall down and go like, hey, not everyone, you know. So when the organizers are contacting me like, oh, we would like to have, you know, this concept, the Rock Your Dance at our festival.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, good. So I will come for 2-3 hours, only Rock Your Dance, and then we do it. So I'm teaching it. And the concept is based on three things.
Mm-hmm.
Kizomba, cool, and creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Like attitude and creativity.
Yeah.
In the attitude, you reflect who you are. You represent who you are. If you're a hip hop dancer, use the hip hop attitude. If you are a bachata dancer, use the bachata attitude. Because at the end, I'm not rocking your dance. You are rocking your dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then the creativity, it is because I use the principles of Kizomba or Semba. I use the step of Kizomba, Semba, and I also use, because I started with Kizomba, but I continue in urban keys. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I use the French because I know both. I know how to play with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that is the stuff.
Yeah. But do you also teach in your school, like a traditional Kizomba, urban keys, or you're just focused on Rock Your Dance project?
In my dance school, in Bremen, I was teaching, because I'm not living in Bremen anymore since a couple of months. I was teaching Kizomba, Semba, urban keys, Afrobeat, Afro house.
Okay.
So, yes, but on festival, I was only teaching urban keys and Afro house.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
And where do you live now? Like, do you have any school in a city that you're living now?
No, I'm living here close to Cologne. I'm living in Leverkusen.
Mm-hmm.
It's really close to Cologne, like 10 minutes. And, you know, in this quarantine, it's not so really good to have a dance school.
Yeah.
So what I do is that, I do is that I have the online classes that I'm giving, and except the online classes, I'm doing what you are watching on Instagram and Facebook. So clip videos, and so these are my two projects on which I'm at. And so I have the online classes and I have the clip videos, and the third project is the La Minute Kizomba. 1 minute Kizomba.
Mm. Nice. I wanted to ask you about the online workshops, because a lot of people are interesting. So I will put in a description below so they can know that you do that. But now you made me curious. What is 1 minute Kizomba? Okay, 1 minute Kizomba. It's a 1 minute. But what is that?
So 1 minute Kizomba. Hashtag La Minute Kizomba. That's a French, La Minute Kizomba. That means 1 minute Kizomba in English. So I have pulled up all my experiences of the Kizomba, or in the Kizomba scene, in urban Kizomba, I put all things that I know together, and I try to make some a big summary.
Mm-hmm.
And now in 1 minute, why is it 1 minute Kizomba? It's because in 1 minute, I talk about one topic or one question. In 1 minute, that is really a challenge because, you know, like right now, we are doing the interview. We're going to talk like 30 minutes. I don't know. But imagine that you have one question. You have to give the right answer. And that right answer is, even a beginner should be in the position to really understand what you say. So it's already a big challenge for myself and also for the other people who are going to watch the video. So in this 1 minute, I give information. For example, what is the biggest problem that you have when you follow your leader?
Mm-hmm.
Or what is the biggest problem that you have when you are teaching?
Yeah.
How can you improve your dance? How can you develop your musicality? Do you want to talk about beats? Do you want to talk about steps? Do you want to talk about what?
Yeah, balance. This kind of, yeah.
Exactly. These kind of questions, I formulate some answers or informations mm-hmm. that in 1 minute I'm talking to people. So I will do it until June for mm-hmm. The first chapter. And then after June, like July, August, and something like that, the second chapter is coming. Every month, one episode will come. Every mm-hmm. month, one episode.
And
La Minute Kizomba.
It's going to be like online, or people can send the questions before, or you're responding?
So that is nice that you asked that question. So I will post it for free on my Instagram and also my Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
And also my YouTube channel, everywhere, Stones Rock Kizomba, Stones Rock Kizomba, the same name. So now, if people have special questions, they can write me PM, you know, like private message, and then I will put it in that concept, because I already have a pool of 20 questions.
Mm-hmm.
And per episode, for each episode, I'm just talking about one question, one topic.
All right, yeah.
And I have 20 topics right now, you know. Mm-hmm. But if people are sending me messages, like, I would like that you make a video about this, that you make a video about this, 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 then I will do that, because I'm doing it for people. I know that in this period of the year that we are going through, it's really difficult for everyone to buy online classes or to continue to dance.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal as an artist is that I want that you still have fun, even if you cannot dance because you're at home or whatever. Mm-hmm. I want that you watch this video that I'm doing today, and when the COVID or the corona is gone and you want to start to dance, that you remember that video.
Yeah.
That you know that, oh, that is a good tip. That is a good advice. So if I want to improve, if I want to do this, where should I go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is the goal also behind that 1 minute Kizomba.
Yeah. So dear listeners, if you're interested in having a question for Stones, if you want to learn something new, DM him or post in Instagram and he will for sure answer. But what I want to ask you is a bit about your private life.
Yeah.
So okay. I got the requests because you are very popular. Oh my God. Don't ask me that.
That was not the plan, right?
Well, a bit.
Let's go.
So I always ask something I need to know and people need to know. So you are, let's say, inspiration for a lot of dancers, a lot of men. And they like your style and they are watching your videos, trying to do certain things. And I got the request from the people because you're in very good shape and a good condition. So do you have like any special gym program or special diet, or how do you stay in shape?
Uh To be honest, I have to say thank you to my mom and to my father, because
your
I have
mom
the
and
genes
dad.
of my, yes, and I have the genes of my parents.
Okay.
So
that's it.
You got the wrong family. No, not that. But
you're the rock.
No. It was a joke. So the thing is, just eat healthy. I mean, I'm eating everything, but the amount is really important. Are you eating too much or too less? Do sport. Go to
what
gym.
Do you do for okay. sport? Like, do you go to gym or running or?
I don't like to go to gym.
Whenever guys see, for example, you or Jojo, let's play Kizomba, lifting the girls, yes, doing crazy things, they're like, oh, I want to do that. And they don't have enough strength in their muscles, so they want to improve that. So give the secret to us.
So the secret that I will give to you is not the secret. It's the key. It's not the secret. It's the key. And that key, someone else also gave it to me. And I will give it to you. I share it with you guys. Take an example. Everyone can box, right? Everyone can box. But you have the difference between a good boxer and a bad boxer is the training. That's all. The training and discipline.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you want to be in shape, you have to keep yourself in a certain condition. That means that you have to train. Train means, for example, jogging. Run per day like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. If you do it like 4 times per week, it's okay. You know, of course, there are some people that are doing deadlift push-ups the whole time. Yes, it depends on the way how you're dancing. Jojo Kizomba, for example, who is working with a lot of machines and sometimes also without machines, that is his way to do it. There are other dancers, they have another way to do it. But all of them or all of us, we are keeping ourselves in shape because we are training.
Yeah.
We are training it. So, guys, eat healthy, you know, just the right amount, not too much, not too less. Just eat like you feel that it's enough for you, enough. Not like, I want more because it's tasty. I mean, if your girl is cooking, it's tasty. You eat, of course, but eat just the amount that you know that, okay, for you, it's okay. And then try to do sport.
Yeah.
Regularly. Don't forget.
Yeah.
The good boxer and the bad boxer. Yes.
Yeah. And I have one more question. It's a bit... I got a request from girls. Actually, I have two questions.
From one to two, where are we going?
I mean, I'm just remembering because I have a lot of requests. To be honest, I have a lot of requests for you, but I will ask only two.
No. Ask me. I'm here. I mean...
Believe me, you don't want me to ask.
Okay. Don't ask.
Not in public. So the first question is, are you still searching for a dance partner? And is there any, let's say, audition for doing to be your dance partner? I mean, you're still with that girl dancing, but do you have like anything in plan maybe to dance with someone else?
Okay, one question before that. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. One question. Are there people who are ready for an audition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
Okay. That's cool. So now I'll answer your question. Oh, I will not answer. I will answer directly to these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that my dance partner is Melly from Paris, and we are still dancing together. Of course, right now she's pregnant. Not of me, of her boyfriend. It's also important because I got some mails like, hey, yo, bro, congratulations. I was like, whoa, what happened? My father, what? So, yo, your dance partner is pregnant. So,
it's not me.
I'm so sorry. You're only dancing. That's all. So, I still have a dance partner who I really respect and really like. And if you see my videos right now and I'm dancing with some other girls, first of all, it's because of the COVID restrictions. I cannot fly to Paris like that easily, you know. And secondly, she's pregnant, you know. Thirdly, it's just that I'm dancing with other dancers because it's the best opportunity or the best, one of the best possibility that I have here to continue to express my art. And if I have a nice choreo, something nice in my mind that I want to express, but I don't want to do it alone, then I do it with some people who are also ready to work with me in that direction. So now, how is it going in the future? I would just say, let's see.
Okay.
Let's see. If you girls, you are interested, or you have some projects, you want to do something, I'm easy. Just write with me or DM me per mail or to my Instagram on Sims Rock. Either I will respond to you or answer you or people of my team, and then we will see what is possible to do according to the restrictions and whatever. But for now, I have an official dance partner who is Melly.
All right. So for the girls, you can easily send a message to Stones or to his team, and they will shortly answer to your message. So you can get more information from them. And one more question. You don't have to answer.
Yeah.
Are you single?
That question. I'm not single.
Okay.
I'm not single. I'm in love.
That's nice. The best feeling in the world. Girl, sorry, but oops.
Yeah,
that's,
I know,
really,
I,
nice.
You know, maybe also after this interview, some girl's gonna remove the likes that they put on my video. Because they remove he's not single anymore. But I prefer to be honest, you know.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, it's like that. I don't want to lie, so. But I'm still friendly, you know, respectful, everything. Just that my heart is already taken.
That's really nice. That's really nice. Well, I wanted to thank you for answering for this interview. I want to wish you the success with your project. And definitely I will call you again in, let's say, a couple of months to see how is the situation going. And I would like to help you with your project of 1 minute Kizomba. And I will definitely recommend people more and more to send the messages and questions. And definitely, I hope that I'm going to be the part of the crying workshop. I'm kidding. But definitely, I do believe that that's the experience that people should experience, because it's not every day that you're crying and you relieve the negativity and somehow connect with the teaching, because I do respect your way of teaching, that first you should connect with yourself and then do the steps. I mean, do the steps, it's the easiest part.
No.
So I'm really glad that
you
answer, and I respect you a lot, even if you don't remember me a few years ago.
Oh,
I still love you. Never
mind.
I was younger. I was different. But
me
still.
Too. I was younger. Look.
Oh, really?
I was younger too.
How old are you?
Oh, yeah, that is a good question. Imagine.
32.
You're not so far.
31.
No, not so far. I will not tell
where?
You. But
up or down?
Sometimes up, sometimes down. I'll not tell you that. I'll not tell you that. Like, no.
Okay, but, he's 20.
I'm not 40. I'm not 35. I'm not 40. I'm not 50. I'm not 20, you know. But I'm young, fresh, full of energy, motivated, disciplined. Mm-hmm. And yes, I'm there.
Well, okay. Actually, I thought, I mean, you remind me on my age, so I'm young. So you're young.
we are young. That's cool. I like that idea. You see?
I mean, to be honest, it's very tricky when somebody who is a dark skin to answer how old is he, because women and men look so younger, and there is no possibility that we can, you know, like, be sure. Yeah. Is it actually, to be honest, I met a man and I thought he's not more than 40, 65. And I was but he is, you know, he is constantly in cosmetics, taking care. That's what we talk. He's consistent in being in shape and everything. So there is no way that I never thought about it. Like 65, I was like, what?
You see, training is the key. Training.
Yes. Once again, thank you, and we speak soon. Okay.
Of course.
Of course. Yes. Have a good these days of, let's say, the Christmas and celebration, but everything is done. But I hope that this COVID restrictions will be in next couple of months will be released so you can continue your work and projects.
Yes. Oh, thank you. But something that I would like to say before that we end up this interview. Is that, first of all, thank you for this possibility to be connected again with you, and also with all people who are following me, following you, following us.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to give a message to everyone, like I usually do. But this one, if people are listening also to it, that's going to be nice. So people, I know, we know, each of us know that we are going through a really difficult situation, mm-hmm. right? So we don't need to talk about what is happening, what is not happening. We already know, we feel it. We are living in it every day. We are waking up, we have it, you know. But just don't give up. Give up. You know, it's not because today you cannot drive 15 miles that it means that you have no life. Because tomorrow or the next week, maybe you will drive 100 miles. You know, mm-hmm. it's not because today you cannot work that it means that you are done. Maybe tomorrow you will start to run. It's not because something is not functioning today the way as you were thinking that it means that, okay, you are dead. No. You are living. You can breathe. You have your mind. This COVID stuff is just a virus.
Mm-hmm.
We are human beings. We are made to adapt. So if we lose our motivation, we will lose our faculty, our ability to adapt and to survive. So guys, keep the good work, keep the good vibe. If it's possible to support each other, do it. Keep positive, positive, positive. Whatever the government is saying, whatever is happening, keep positive. If you have a positive mind, a positive heart, then you will be healthy. But if you're thinking negatively and you have bad feelings, you'll have depression on, and also a weak immune system. So please, the beginning is your mindset and then also your feeling. Keep positive and we will go through together. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you very much. We wish same for you, and we appreciate your advice. Definitely stay positive and everything's going to be okay. This is just a challenge, nothing more. So again, Thank you very much and see you soon. Goodbye.
See you. Ciao,
bye,
ciao.
Bye.
Bye.